Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us in your presence this evening, realizing that as we sing this Psalms, particularly Psalm 67, Psalm 65, I should say, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thine house, even of thy holy temple. Thank you, dear Father God, for even blessing us this morning, echoing the great exaltation for thy people, to exalt thee in our worship, and to be reminded that singing thy psalms, O Lord, lift up hearts unto thee. That's why we come to thee with the expectation that thy will be done and thy great purposes in showering us the beauty of your holiness and the humility to be taught by thee, to be made willing to be teachable, to have a teachable and humble spirit before thee. That's why we are remembering tonight that through our Lord Jesus Christ, whose precious blood has demonstrated his great love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sin. O Lord, our God, we thank thee that even through thy grace, through thy abundant grace, we are always dependent upon thy grace every moment of our life, because without thy grace and thy mercy, we cannot do nothing. And that draws us, make us draw to you, the throne of your grace, that we might be conformable to your will and not our own will, because we don't have any more will of our own, because we have a new life in Christ, and his will alone should be done for our lives. And tonight we long to see that to be again repeated and to be echoed from thy holy word. Teach us teachable, O Lord. And help us to be reminded that whenever thy word is being preached, there is a demand to make a decision, as this morning was shared to us and challenged us, that there is always a decision to be made for good and for thy glory. So help us now, Lord, even by asking you to hide me behind thy cross, so that you will be the one, Lord Jesus, being heard speaking right now, and not myself. That even my remove my own ideas, O Lord. May thy word be truly be taken heed to, so that, Lord, your name will be exalted, and that our hearts will be, and minds, and our desires and longings will be brought to the center, to the author and finisher of our faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So as the scripture was read a while ago by Pastor Mark, there are three aspects from this verse that was read, in which even the Psalms that we read tonight brings us to the realization that God, even through the various Psalms you have just read, God is a God that chooses to bless his people. And that's where our thoughts are centering this evening. And through his servant Abraham, in which we have Pastor Marcus read a while ago, that our focus will be on this God that chooses not only to choose us as his adopted children, but even to choose us to see his great work of blessing us. So in these 9 verses that was read for us, I want to show you the God that chooses to bless in such a way that God, that through God's sovereign choice, God chooses to bless us. And that God's promise to his chosen servant, Abraham, he also promised the same promises to us today as his people. And that also, on the third part, is that as God chooses to bless us, God's commission to his chosen servant is made manifest not only to him, but to his church with a great commission to his disciples to preach the gospel to all nations. And that's how we begin to see overflowing blessings. With the preaching of the gospel, we are made beneficiaries of those blessings, as his servant Abraham, when he chose to follow God. In the text that we he just heard a while ago, God counted his faith in following God's command to follow him, to leave his home country into a place of Canaan, land of Canaan, so that God's blessing will be their portion. And that was so. So that God's commission to his chosen one, Abraham, will be also our commission, which was which you are all familiar with in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And I don't have to repeat that, because you know already that God has promised that his power, his authority was given to our Lord Jesus Christ, and that he commanded his disciples to teach all nations what he has taught them. And while they are doing this, he promised that he will be with them while they are doing the preaching and the teaching of God's word through his doctrinal teaching. And also, he will be with them up unto the end of the world until he comes. What a promise, isn't it? So those are the things, the three areas in which we can see God blessing us as he promised. So that in this text, I would like to ask this question before you, so that we may reflect, not just listening to the text, but reflecting what the text means to us. So the question goes like this: does God have a purpose for the individual believer in today's world, in the present time in which we live? Does God have a specific purpose for a local congregation or a local church of believers in our present day or present generation? If God has such a purpose, the next question to follow through is, how is it possible to discover such purpose? Well, we have all in the scripture, isn't it? That's why the word in Genesis 12 was read to us. It was the faith of Israel through Abraham, and it was the faith of the early church that the eternal God that we worship does have a purpose for man, for every man in this world. This faith of Abraham, which he expressed, and to all faith that Abraham was mentioned, even in Hebrews, and even in the text, that his faith was considered righteousness before God. And that's why he blessed him. And we can see this blessing unfolded before us. So this faith of Abraham and those who were affected by his testimony until now are promised to have a blessing. And through his servant Abraham, and through his life and his family, all the nations of the world will be blessed. So to discover God's eternal purpose should be the desire of every believer. The Old Testament is a testimony to the fact that God has a purpose in this world. And we should be glad about that purpose of God. And we should be looking forward that God's purpose will become a reality in our day. God is also working this purpose in and through his people. And that should make us glad and optimistic and persistent in discovering that and praying for that to be a reality in our present churches, present life as his people in the church. God's eternal purpose was first revealed to Abraham. And I must emphasize that. And you must put that in the consciousness of your mind because the faith of Abraham was considered righteous. And God considered it as righteousness because he followed God's command. He doesn't even know where to go. He has to be focused on God's direction in his mighty hand. And God's blessing was upon him, isn't it? And we will see this, how this blessing unfolded. It was also this purpose of God was also repeated to the patriarchs. It was reinstated also through the leadership of Moses to the nation of Israel. It was interpreted and applied by the prophets for us. And it came to pass, and it came to the fulfillment in the person and life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is very significant, isn't it? That the plan of God to show his blessing of salvation unfolds before us through his holy word, and we can see them here. So it came to the fulfillment in the person and life of our Jesus Christ. It is being continued today through the church in the present world we live in. So God will continue to his purpose until the Lord Jesus returns. So expecting God's fulfilling his plan and purposes, we can see first of all, the first part or first aspect of God's blessing to us, that God's blessing choose to bless us through God's sovereign choice of his servant, through Abraham. And we can see that in verse 1, which I would like to quote. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred. That includes his relatives. And your father's house to the land that I will show you. So this is God's first revealed purpose of redemption to Abraham. By the sovereign choice of God, Abraham was chosen as the point of beginning for the nation of Israel that would carry on God's purpose of redemption and salvation. We are saved in assuming from God's word that God chose Abraham because he was the most usable man available at the time. Even though he is such a weak, helpless man, sinful as we are, God uses Abraham for his purpose and plan and purpose for our lives to be fulfilled through him and fulfilled in the person and life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham was by no means perfect, as I already said just now, but God chose him as an instrument for the accomplishment of his redemptive purpose in the world, in bringing salvation Just like him, he followed God and executed that plan of God by following that, to come to a country that will lead him to tell to the world that he has a message to the world, and through his children, the counsel of God's word and the effect of that word to his family. And by his example, we will see that God will bless him through salvation in Christ. And that should help us actually be so glad in God's plan and purpose, that we are included to those nations, that through Abraham, all nations will be blessed through him. What a mighty God we have, because he got this purpose and plan to be a beneficiary of that blessed salvation that was unfolded before him through Christ our Lord. So even though he's not perfect man, he is in many ways has a lot of weaknesses and a lot of things that the world probably will not agree with, but he's ready to fulfill and follow God's plan, particularly the redemptive purpose of God through him. So not only to God's sovereign choice that he blesses through Abraham all the nations of the earth, but God promised also that God's promises to his chosen servant Abraham, he will bless us continually. And the blessings is mentioned in verse 2 to 3a. And I'll quote again, "And I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great so that you'll be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." See, the number of the word bless there, God is making this promise. It's not just a word of mouth coming through the Bible, but the Bible is God's word. And this promise through his servant Abraham will be also a blessing to those who will obey the commandments of God. And there is a command that the blessings of God will not just happen like that, but there is corresponding responsibility in receiving God's blessing. And we'll look into that on the third part. So you see, that's the astounding blessing that God is through his promise. That is not only through his servant Abraham, but after him, after his good example and modeling of life of righteousness and holiness through his family and offspring, not only all the earth will also be blessed to have kings. In other words, this blessing of God, that's not just material blessings, but the title of being kings in ruling righteously the nations of the world will be the portion of all nations. In the revelation of God's purpose, there was a promise to bless the chosen servant Abraham. While promise included protection and guidance and material substance, the chief blessing of Abraham was actually spiritual. It's not just material form. It is actually spiritual. So that Abraham was to enjoy fellowship with God. Remember when he reached Sychar, right? He built an altar to worship God. And that is indicative of a sweet fellowship, ongoing fellowship with God and also waiting on God. What is the next step? It's not just going left and right, but it's in that altar in Shechem. Abraham worshiped God and waiting on God for his direction every day of his life, so that he waited always on God to see God's plan and purpose being fulfilled and unfolded to him. So God's spiritual blessing was a spiritual one in forms of fellowship, spiritual fellowship, prayer, meditating upon God's word. And Abraham also was chosen not only as his servant, but his co-worker. So this is a very indicative of great plan and purposes of God for Abraham and to those generations after generations who saw is the evidence of his righteousness and holy living coming from God himself. And the effect of that is that God's commission to his chosen servant Abraham, which is the third one, in 12b, it says 12, chapter 12, 2b. We will see this special blessings that God laid upon Abraham's heavy responsibility. So I mentioned to you that this blessing shall go along with it, a responsibility and an obedience to God's command. So that quotation, "and thou shalt be a blessing," is not just a word that is passed to him. It is actually a blessing from God. It is a factual thing to happen. This is not just a mere statement of a fact. It is a divine command coming from the mouth of our holy and righteous God. It's the divine commission. That's why Abraham was promised the blessing of God in order that it might be a blessing to others. At the beginning of the redemptive plan and in history of God's unfolded action of declaring and fulfilling his promise for his redemptive purposes through the nation of Israel, actually God was declaring that with every blessing, there is a corresponding responsibility and opportunity to work out this plan so that those generations after Abraham will follow his model up to this present, so that the lesson of redemption that was a portion of our beneficiaries from the example of Abraham will be also handed over to the next generation and after generation until today, until he comes. So salvation is not just per se just receiving the salvation, forgiveness of sin. There is a responsibility to carry out a holy and righteous life. That's like Abraham was instructed by God, so that when they believe that God is at work, and we will see this in his relationship with his nephew, Lot. And this responsibility that is coming together with this calling, there is also opportunity that he must do to proclaim the righteousness of God and the very purposes of God in his life. However, that doesn't come easy. There is also a tragic moment in the life of Israel, and I'll explore that a little bit. So the tragedy that Israel faces actually happens when the descendants of Abraham laid claim in the promises of God, but neglected to respond to the opportunities and to the responsibilities that went along with God's commission. We also have that Christ's commission to his disciples. If they did not do an action to that great commission and just receive it like that, do you think the gospel will spread and reach us today? But they did that responsibility. They put into action what God commanded them to do, just like Abraham did. So at this point, I'm telling you that the tragedy of Israel, they claimed the promise, but they did not explore the responsibility. They did not show the responsibilities. But the those families of the generation of Abraham continued to do that, so that this plan and purpose of God's redemptive plan will continue unto our day. So Abraham, as the founder of the Jewish nation, was intended by God, number one, as a witness to him, to the rest of mankind. That is in Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44, verse 8. Let me just quickly come to my... Bible app. All right. That is in Isaiah 44, verse 8. It says here, God is speaking here. Who is like me? In verse 7, let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me. Since I appointed an ancient people, and let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Verse 8 says, fear not, nor be afraid. For have I not told you from the old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? There is no rock. I know not any. So that is the evidence that how God proved himself to Israel, that they must realize there is no God like him. And this God is being obeyed by the righteous man he has chosen through Abraham, so that his blessing through him will flow and affect other nations of the world. So the intention of choosing Abraham was not only expressed as a witness to him in Isaiah 44, verse 8. It's also reflecting as a depository through Abraham of God's revelation. Romans 3:2 indicates that as well for us. And I will just quote it to you. Much in every way, to begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. You see, there is no other nation that the oracles of God was given. It is only through Abraham for the nation of Israel, so that God's redemptive plan and purpose will be fulfilled even through the lineage of Abraham, and finally fulfilled in the life and work of our Lord Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. It is also a preparation. By choosing Abraham, it is also a preparation for the Messiah to come, which we can actually indicate in Isaiah 53. And I will just clicking that on Isaiah 53. This is the prophecy of the Messiah to come. And I quoted that this morning in our communion. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteem him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. That is about the preparation of the coming Messiah. So that through Abraham, he recorded this blessing. That's why we have it now, that the coming of the Messiah was through the lineage, from his lineage to David, King David, and to the generation after generation of that lineage, until Christ fulfilled it all, once and for all, the sacrifice that was planned in God's redemptive purpose. So that Abraham was also repeated as the blessings of God for Israel in Romans 15, verse 8. Onwards, it says, it says, for I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. That includes, of course, through our patriarchs, Abraham. So the Lord continue to say, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. These are command which should actually make our reflection be focused on God who is speaking to make us or to give us a searching heart and pressing demand upon one who was the youngest son, which is Abraham. The youngest son of Terah, the father of Abraham. Yet God's call to separation was a necessary condition of blessing. So it's not just material blessing. This is, but it's actually spiritual blessing, which involved being separated, being sanctified by God through his Holy Spirit in Christ. So separation was the keynote of Abraham's life from first to last. And in that separation to the will of God, Abraham found all his peace and blessings. What about the tragedy, not only from Israel, but to the modern world or to the modern church? In many respects, the modern church is making the same mistake as did the ancient Israel. We want to claim the promises of God while neglecting to respond to the commission of our Lord Jesus to evangelize the whole world. The promise of the presence of our living Lord to meet the deepest needs of our lives can be claimed only when we are living in obedience to his command, to his commission to carry the message of salvation to our individual world, to our individual influence wherever we go, and to the bigger world. That means more extended to the various tribes, to various cities, until to the uttermost part of the earth. So that is God's commission in Matthew 28. expressed there, that all authority of Christ was given by the Father, and they will receive power. They will receive the power of the Holy Spirit, which they needed to proclaim the gospel. And while they are doing this, that promise of the Holy Spirit will make them bold, will make the power of the gospel come strongly and convicting men of sin and righteousness. That is the power of God promise, that while the modern church today will continue to uphold the Great Commission, we are not doing it on our own strength and plans, but God's promise will be with us. It's an ongoing power of God when we preach the gospel, so that the blessings of Abraham, as you bless him with salvation, it will come to us today as well. So God never places a burden on his people without giving them the power to respond. God did not give this commission to Abraham and to his apostles without giving them the necessary power to accomplish that for God's glory and for the salvation of many in our days. So it is God's biddings on us, from Abraham to his prophets, to his apostles, and to his faithful preachers today. The bidding of God to fulfill his commission was his enabling by his Holy Spirit. That's the power. He encouraged Abraham with a threefold promise. First, the promise of a lamb filled with milk and honey in 12:1, a seed, the children of Abraham that will continue to proclaim the goodness of God in saving the world, and the worldwide blessing that he promised in 12:3 as well. And those nations who will hear from your witness will also have these blessings of salvation, as Abraham, in his obedience to God's command, was counted as righteousness. And lastly, the human response. Our response is expected whenever God speaks to us. Nothing is more than striking than the immediate response made by Abraham at the outset of his obedience. Abraham manifests that faith which is characterized his life, almost the whole of his life, so that even tonight, as we continue the reference to the character of his faith, the confidence of his faith is actually shown in 12:4, which I have to repeat to you. Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. That actually verse shows the confidence of the faith of Abraham. I will just quote it to you quickly. In verse 4 of chapter 12 of Genesis, it says this: "So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." Now, the fact that he departed, that means he did not just receive the command, because it came from divine voice, that actually reflect the confidence of his faith, that he is following the God of his salvation, the only true God. So Abraham went as the Lord had spoken to him. He took God at his word. Remember, he never doubted God's word. without any hesitation, without any negative thoughts. He took God at his word and without any question. This must be it. I must follow God to have this blessing that he promised to us as a nation. And then that's the first characteristic of Abraham's faith, which is the confidence of his faith on God's promises. And then the obedience of his faith, which is, from verse 5 to 6, it says, Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken to him, and Lo and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. In other words, the workers that helped him do all this preparation to move forward and follow God's command and to live in that nation. For him to teach all the word of God first to his family and to those who will hear him, they will be receiving that righteousness which salvation gives to those people who believe Abraham, pointing them to Christ Jesus our Lord as their Lord and Savior. So that is not only the confidence of his faith, but the obedience of his faith. In leaving Ur and staying at Haran, his obedience was only partial at that time, because whatever may have been the precise cause of the partiality and whatever the explanation, in any case, Abraham did not obey fully until his father's death. And then came the entire and prompt obedience, full obedience and surrender when he departed from Haran into the land of promise of Canaan with all that they possess. In other words, this must have actually involved a lot of preparation, logistics, the logistics that he has to prepare to put all in line according to God's plan and move forward in carrying out that God's plan and purpose for his life. So that is his obedience of faith. And then the compassion of his faith in verse 5. I would like to quote, bring back to you that compassion of his faith in verse 5. And we should actually go back to it, because what about your faith? As we see the faith of Abraham with his obedience and with his confidence in God and obedience to God's command, the compassion of his faith is contaminating. It is something that actually speaking to someone or his immediate relative like Lot is looking at, so that Abraham's response to the divine call to him and to his family relatives, Lot could have actually stayed where he was, but the influence of Abraham constrained him to go. In other words, he doesn't have a choice. Through Abraham's faith and confidence on his God and obedience to his God's command, Lot went with Abraham, with his uncle. In verse 7, we have also the first visible appearance of God to Abraham, which I already read to you. But I would like to say to you again, then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. What a promise, isn't it? Through his offspring of Abraham, he will give the land. So he built there an altar at Shechem, so that his worship will reflect his waiting on God and not too indecisive or too excited, but to really want to wait on the Lord so that he will be perfect in the sight of God and not disobey God along the way. So that is a separation, the discipline of waiting on God to live a life of separation in holiness and righteousness. We also see here the endurance of Abraham's faith in verse 8 and 9. It says, in verse 8 and 9, I'll quote, "And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar to the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord." So this is the place of worship, that he waited on God, not to follow his own will, but the command of God. What is the next step? What is the next plan? And Abraham journeyed. As a result of waiting on God, he obeyed God, going to the next place to go, and toward the south, which is towards nearing Canaan. What an endurance of faith and the confidence of faith and his obedience to God's command. That must actually move our hearts in looking at the effect of the endurance of Abraham's faith and obedience and his confidence to God's promise. How does that affect us? And it should move us and affect us. So the divine declaration in verse 3 of chapter 12, "In these shall all the families of the earth," must actually help our minds to reflect what God is declaring here. God is promising that all families of the earth will be blessed through the righteousness that was found in the life of Abraham. God is declaring that his loving purpose is inclusive, that includes the Gentiles, not only for the Jews, but the Gentiles, that includes us as well. And the universal application of that promise is applied today in the preaching of God's word. And at the beginning, God was determined to bless the whole world by means of his chosen servant, Abraham, and those who will follow after him. And God's eternal purpose have not changed. And he continues to desire to bless the whole world through his example. Now, in reflection on this, let me ask this finally. What is the direction of your life? You know that before God, and we cannot hide anything from him. Are you added toward God or away from him? That was a challenge given to us this morning. If you are a drifter or you who drifts away and glide through the passions of this world and does not make a change, if you are a Christian on following God's plan and purpose for our lives, the choice for God may seem difficult, but it is one choice that puts all other choices in a different light. In other words, if you choose to follow God like Abraham did, every blessing, the blessing for us of redemption, will flow in our faithful declaration of that commission to share the gospel to others. That's how the blessing will flow. It's not our material blessing, although the material blessings will come through as well, but the material blessing is spiritual, which is God's reflective of God's redemption for the nation of Israel. The lesson from Abraham's life is this, is that God wants us to do more than drift through life. In other words, moving along the tides of life. not just like that, moving and living our life with material blessings, but he wants us to truly follow the spiritual blessings, which must be an influence for him, for good to others, when we share the gospel of the saving grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the blessings. And through our influence, when we access our faith in obedience to God's command, and our confidence to every God's purposes and plan through his word, and the effect of those blessings, of those of the faith that is rebuilt in our daily life as a result of our walk with God, people will see how we walk with him, how we live according to his teaching and obedience to his command. That helps people see the wonder of God's salvation. Is our salvation influencing others for good? Well, tonight it's time to question that and to make a real change for good, so that our witness, like Abraham's witness, can influence others to trust God, to trust Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen.